Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chicago Sports Morning Show with Molly and Hall. We'll be back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Are we ready for the 5:30 pickup?
Cam's Courier Service's newest hire delivered his resignation.
Hey, Ray, who's handling it?
She now needs next day shipping on a new driver.
All these boxes here, are they ingoing or are they outgoing?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This segment is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Here's the 0-1. Rizzo drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Home run to right for Rizzo, and the Cubs lead 9-2.
Two down. Cubs lead by a run. Tying run at first. Martinez at the plate. Bryant guards the line at third. Here we go, Montgomery's pitch. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've got Hub Arkish with us today, the great man himself joining us for David. And Hub, lifelong Cubs fan, you mentioned how important that moment was for you in your life, having waited as long as you did. Obviously, you're not 108, but your entire life you were waiting for that moment, and it occurred. And I think a lot of people were kind of overwhelmed by it. But now, not that it wasn't over already, but we are sitting here this morning and the trade deadline is at 3 p.m. today. And yesterday, MLB went nuts. It just absolutely melted down. There's so much going on. And you look at what the Washington Nationals did. Mike Rizzo, Chicago guy, made good. The general manager, they agreed upon deals with Scherzer, Trey Turner, Daniel Hudson, Kyle Schwarber, Brad Hand. I mean, they they cleared it out, man. They really made a ton of trades, and you don't know what's left. You don't know what else they could do in terms of making another deal today. But the Cubs still may control this day. They can control Friday's trade market, because while they've traded Jock Peterson and Ryan Tepera and Andrew Chafin and, of course, the big one, Anthony Rizzo, they still have Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell and Javi Baez and Zach Davies. These are all guys that would be useful players somewhere else with contracts that are expiring. And you got to ask yourself, are the Dodgers done? Do they want to put it over the top and go after Craig Kimbrell? Can you get a deal done with them? You keep hearing about Chris Bryant at various places. Doesn't it kind of make sense with the Giants, just given the situation they're in and the standing that they have, given what the Padres have done and what the Dodgers are doing? What about Javi Baez? I mean, that would probably surprise me most, Tub, if the Cubs – not. I think two things would surprise me. If they made no move, it would surprise me. And it would equally surprise me if Javi was traded along with Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, Molly. And, you know, it's funny. To me, this is all about the prospects that I don't know well enough and who's left. Because when you get to this, and you know what drives me crazy? How is it that the Dodgers, in spite of being a contender and a reigning champion and winning every year, still always have one of the best farm systems in baseball? And we look at other teams, and especially the Cubs here in Chicago, and it's almost a sense like, well, the only way you can get a decent farm system is by, you know, having a fire sale like this and getting somebody else. And yet you look at the teams that annually contend, you know, the Cardinals were like this for years. The Dodgers have always been like this. The Red Sox have been like this. They're able to win and still have top farm systems. The Cubs had to spend, you know, 3-4 years building in the beginning with Theo and Jed before they had any prospects in the system. And then as soon as they built that one team, the system became one of the least exciting ones in Major League Baseball. So now you look at what's left, you know, with Riz, people smarter than me know whether they got enough or not. You know, you got a couple decent prospects. He's in his early 30s. He's had the back issues. Right. You know, you can understand why he wasn't the guy you were going to get the mother load for. But now you look at Bryant and Baez, the only thing worse that you could do than dealing them is to not get enough in return. And so I got to look around and say, okay, if the Mets are going to be the team that's going to make the move, is there enough in that system to justify it? If the Giants decided to go nuts and go after a Baez, you know, what are you getting in return? And here's the other question I have, Molly. Are you going to do it the same way again? If you're the Cubs and this time Jed as opposed to Theo, you're going to ignore pitching and continue to add all these position guys? Because what happened to the Cubs, the ultimate, once we write the epitaph on all this, the only negative thing anybody in the world, particularly Chicago, has ever said about the 85 Bears is they only won once. And we know that team should have won, excuse me, or at least played in a few more Super Bowls. The first time I came down in October, actually November of 16, after, you know, much too much celebrating over much too long a period of time, was, okay, now they got to do it again. They better not be the 85 Bears. To me, not only are these Cubs, the 16 Cubs, the 85 Bears, it's worse because they didn't have some of the excuses that Bears team had for never winning again.
Right. Right.
And now,
their,
you know,
quarterback was healthy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and to not get enough of these deals, that's what they're ultimately going to be measured by. So whatever they do today, if it turns out that somebody's willing to pay more for Javi than for Bryant or Kimbrell, you know, I think you have to do it at this point. And now it's just a question of how does the rest of Major League Baseball see these guys on the market?
All right, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and bet smarter at beat the books. And visit BetQL.com. You can go to Odyssey.com and see all the various platforms and information available to you. Let's get out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Kevin is in Palatine. Kevin, I thought of you when the trade was made, buddy.
Well, Molly, I appreciate that. And just for the record, obviously, he's the huge part, and like Hub, 2016, greatest year of my sports life. But a 32-year-old, Molly, as I've told you 5,000 times, with a bad back, does not – oh, I think we avoided a horrific Jason Hayward-level mistake by moving him along yesterday, because you can't be nostalgic, guys. You can't. You got to look at this clear. Now, when Bryant goes, that is furious, visceral anger at this cheapskate owner who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I agree 100% with Bernstein. This guy wants to be the Pirate. He's not a baseball owner. He's a real estate magnate who happens to own the Cubs, and it is disgusting. If he was worth his salt, today they would announce they just signed Wilson Contreras to a 5-year contract to avoid what happened with all the rest of these guys. And for people who are going to cry about, well, what do we get back? Nobody knew what Kyle Hendricks was when we got him. He was a throw-in, and now he's a staple of your rotation. You have no idea what we're getting in any of these guys. But what this comes down to, guys, is this owner lied to everyone, and he is cheap, and he is manipulating, and he did not tell the truth. And I also don't believe a word Crane Kenny says. The Cubs are in dire straits, and this dude needs to sell because he is a bad person. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Wow. Well, I mean, you didn't leave a lot of wiggle room in your opinion there. Tom Ricketts not a bad person. Tom Ricketts a good dude. Tom Ricketts is the guy that won a World Series, put a team together that won a World Series. The fact that they didn't win enough, these are. I don't think that is an issue of ownership. I think that you went out and you bought the best team you could buy. You went out and you got yourself the architect in Theo Epstein, and you went along, you gave him the power. He tore it down. He rebuilt all the minor league system. Maybe you can argue about Theo's decisions in terms of the way that you gave up so many assets. They're all over baseball, by the way. I just watched the White Sox getting beat with Jorge Soler hitting home runs, okay? I mean, you forget about him. You forget about a lot of these guys, but they're all over the place. And they did a great job putting that team together. The Addison Russell thing, I mean, you go back and just pick that team apart and see everything that happened after the fact. You know, you thought that was a kid that was headed to an MVP, and he instead wound up in the Korean League or whatever. It's just hard to believe the way his career kind of tailspinned and his personal life fell apart. So I think that you know, there are extenuating circumstances as to why. We will always talk about what went wrong with the Cubs not winning the multiple championships, but they did win the one. And I think, you know, you can't dismiss the fact that there is a pandemic that is going on. The fact that I know everyone derides Tom Ricketts for talking about biblical losses, but they didn't have any profit for a while, right? They lost a lot of their profit. They're business people putting together a business, and all of a sudden there is no profit, and we expect them to still put the same money in and all the rest of it. And when you talk about the value of the franchise, yes, it's grown immensely. It's an incredible business that you bought for less than $1 billion, and you've turned into whatever. Every time you turn around, it's worth $4 billion or $5 billion. These are crazy numbers that are thrown around. They're not selling the team. It's not money in hand. The pandemic affected what they were going to do. The timing of the contracts affected what they were going to do. They wanted to trade these guys for a massive amount of money. Now they're all on expiring contracts, and they're rental players. No, you're not going to get the same prospects and the same amount that you would have gotten. And you're right. Kevin's right in terms of if you got a guy you want to keep, you better get to him and extend him while there's value to that before his contract's up and the money goes through the roof.
Yeah, Molly, I mean, you know, like Kevin, I am not overly thrilled with Cubs ownership, but I got to take a step back here. Tom Ricketts, he's not a bad human being. And by the way, he's just the face of Cubs ownership. It's the Ricketts family that owns and drives this. It's the old man who is the money and the brains behind the whole thing. And anybody who believes that this is Tom Ricketts left to his own devices and that, you know, he's just, you know, pushing these buttons, you're just not being realistic. And the other thing is that I'm not furious. I'm just disappointed. I feel empty, you know, with what's going on here. And it's an unfortunate time to be a Cubs fan. But 108 years, guys, a lot of people tried it. A lot of people stepped in. He came in here, and from the jump, as Mully said, he went out and got the best guy in the business, apparently, to come in and oversee the final reckoning. Let's get this done. And they did. You know, he did deliver a World Series. And as disappointing as it is that it was only one and it's all come apart so quickly, if you're going to lay the blame, you got to give the credit. So I think to focus on just Tom Ricketts is kind of a mistake. I think what the family and ownership is doing with this franchise, clearly with a focus on increasing their own wealth above winning, is unfortunate. And, you know, Mike, I've been caught up in this all year, on my beat with the Bears, and you talk about the pandemic or look at the Bulls, the Hawks, whoever you want. We've all had to deal with it. It's very, very real. It's also the same for every team in every league, you know. So you come on the other side of it. What I'm curious about, how come nobody's talking about Theo these days? How come nobody's mad at the guy who got out of town in front of the posse, who is in part responsible for a fair amount of this too? And I will say the same thing. And by the way, I love Theo. You know, brilliant executive, sure. brilliant guy, all of that. But not only, you know, he gets all the credit. The Ricketts family gets none for finally winning that World Series. And yet he is also responsible for the moves that have been made since that put them in this position. I mean, I think I was on with you and David or whenever it was the day after the day we heard about the Yu Darvish signing. And I said, what are they doing? This right. makes no sense. You know, right. why are they doing this? And so
salary dump. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you turn around, you make the trade. So, you know, if you want to find bad guys or boogeymen, you can go anywhere, Kevin. At the end of the day, this is a common story in professional sports. We hate that we see it happening to the Chicago Cubs. I think that Cubs ownership is not acting in its fan base's best interest, and I do think that they are taking advantage of their fans for their own financial gain. But I don't think it's because they want to be the worst owners in sports and have a bad baseball team. And I don't think that they're villains or quite as heinous as Kevin seems to think they are.
All right, we've got the pick six next. We're going to get to that. We've got so many stories to cover. There's a great way to do it. He's Hub Arkish. You're listening to Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did your Google searches reveal to you about the two players the Cubs acquired for Anthony Rizzo, rookie outfielder Kevin Alcantara and high A righty Alex Vizcaino? Were you impressed the Cubs ate Rizzo's remaining contract to get better prospects?
Yeah, I had to go to the Google machine to figure out who these guys were. I unfortunately am not up to snuff on Yankee prospects and hadn't really broken it down. I guess Alcantara is a 19-year-old big kid, 6'6", could grow into that body and become more of a power guy. Seventh, according to Fangraphs, 14th prospect in the Yankee system, according to Baseball America. Highly thought of, I guess, who knows, right? I mean, you got to grow into your body. You got to make sure you don't strike out. Hopefully he's a power guy at some point. An outfielder and in rookie ball. High A is Alexander Vizcaino, 24 years old. He missed the start of the season with some arm issues. 11th at Fangraphs, 12th Baseball America. You know, obviously closer to the major leagues because of his age. He's also on their 40. He was on their 40-man list, so that puts him on a little bit of a time constraint because you got to, you know, figure out the Rule 5 thing. So I guess they did well. No idea.
Yeah, Mike, am I impressed that the Cubs ate the $5.5 million on Rizzo's contract? No. They won't spend money on anything else. If that got them a little better prospects, okay. But to me, that's not really even a factor in all this is from a fan perspective. Alcantara, he actually reminds me of the prospects that the Cubs got for Darvish from the Padres. Now they've got a bunch of these teenage outfielders. And are we going in the same direction again? Are we going to focus on, you know, building the system with position players and forgetting pitching? Now they are adding pitching too this time around. I understand that. So Alcantara, we'll just have to wait and see. I look at that body at 6'6", 185, and you know, that doesn't sound like a baseball player, let alone an outfielder to me. They say he's a center fielder, but he's 19, you know, so we'll see. That's what you're doing in deals like this. But Vizcaino, I can't get excited about a 24-year-old righty, you know, who's in high A ball. You know, there's obviously something that you'll like about him eventually, but at what point is he going to be even ready? So, you know, we got to wait and see, but the Google search did not impress me all that much.
A pick six to end the half.
Did David Ross and the Cubs err by not getting Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant into the Cubs game on Thursday?
Look, I mean, you know, I get it. Let's have one last at bat so everyone can applaud. I think that you just have to make sure everyone's healthy if you're going to trade them. I don't get that at all, honestly. I don't understand the complaint. I think we can all hail them and say goodbye to them without having that moment where they wave it. Bring them back and have them throw out the first pitch. Isn't that what Chris Bryant talked about, coming back as an old man to throw out a pitch? He's just not going to sing. It didn't bother me at all, but I didn't feel the need to, you know, say goodbye to the guys.
Yeah, Molly, I think the most oft used and then oft ignored phrase in sports is it's a business, you know, and then to get one more standing ovation from whoever was out at Wrigley Field yesterday, does that change anything? Does that matter? No, I don't even understand why people are talking about this, to be honest with you. And you know what? Sometimes you hear a manager or an owner or somebody say something and you say, ah, well, you can ignore that. They're not being straight with you. But in this case, how many other starts have Rizzo and Bryant missed this year? I'm not sure that it was because of the trade deadline that they didn't play. You don't know. That's one of the reasons these guys are going, is because they had a chance to stay Cubs the first half of the season. And instead, you know, they made their run early and it's been all downhill the last 3-4 weeks. So of all of the things coming out of yesterday, I think the least important is that they didn't play. And no, I don't think it was a mistake at all.
A pick six of 100 yards.
Which of the two players traded by the White Sox on Thursday, AA left-hander Connor Pilkington traded to Cleveland or Class A lefty Bailey Horn to the Cubs, will have the better professional career? Can you explain your answer, please?
Okay, so I think as I look at this, I do know the White Sox prospects a little bit better, and I think that Pilkington, left-handed guy, you know, they were going to have to deal with the Rule 5 thing. We'll talk to James Fox about that. So I don't know that he was a big part of their future plans, and you end up getting a starter. Okay, that's fine. And then Bailey Horn. These are both left-handed pitchers. These are both guys that pitched in the SEC. Bailey Horn to the Cubs. This was a guy they took. I want to say they took fifth in the draft, but they paid him like he was the third pick. They overpaid in his slot at five to get him to come. I get it. I think the Cubs do a great job with the pitching lab and all that stuff. But I watch a lot of the Cleveland Indians, and it's, excuse me, Guardians, soon to be Guardians. I watch a lot of the Cleveland team, and every time you turn around, they pull some pitcher out of nowhere who ends up being like a really good player. And I think that could be the case with Pilkington. So I'm going to go with Cleveland's process over the Cubs lab.
I got to believe that Cesar Hernandez was a more in-demand prospect than Ryan Tepera. So I got to believe that Pilkington is probably, you know, the better talent. We'll see. As a Cubs fan, I'm going to say it better be Bailey Horn, and I hope it is. But, hey, you know, you're talking about young pitchers who are not major league ready. So Pilkington's the higher thought of prospect. I assume he'll be the better player.
Pick six.
Which team, the Cubs or White Sox, fielded the stranger lineup on Thursday? Could the Cubs be forgiven because they are in sell mode? Did either team prioritize winning on that day?
No, neither team seemed to put a lineup out that you thought could win. I was laughing out loud because the Sox, I was watching Frank and Ozzie on the pregame, and they were saying, you know, there's so many guys that are battling for a spot on the playoff roster that they're going to hit a ton, and they're going to, and I was looking at that lineup like, where are the hits coming? And sure enough, they were shut out. But I like that idea that you somehow created competition. Andrew Vaughn at second base, I'm sorry, that's where you lost me, and that didn't make any sense at all. I think the Cubs lineup was strange, and Dustin alerted me to it immediately. I think that they are in sell mode, and you don't want a guy to get hit, and you don't want anything going on that could waylay a trade. And we don't know how many guys are being traded. We don't, you know, we just rattled off four more guys who could go today before 3 p.m. So you got to be careful about it. I'm going to say that the Sox should be trying to win, and the Cubs, it didn't matter.
You know, it's funny, Mike. I mean, I don't remember the timing of the announcement of the Hernandez trade, but I'm going to assume that the White Sox knew that it was coming. They'd gotten it done before the game yesterday. So the only team with a chance to ruin their hopes, I mean, they're going to win the AL Central. And, you know, the only team that maybe could have made a run was the team waving the white flag at them and giving them Hernandez. So who cares what the lineup was? You know, I mean, they can experiment and do what they have to do to get this table set right for late August and September to make sure they're ready when the playoffs come. I have no problem with the White Sox. I mean, was it strange? Yeah, but so what? You know, they're in a really fortunate position right now. And honestly, as far as the Cubs, I don't know if this is Rossi or if this is the kind of rudderless ship that they've appeared to be over the last year or so. But they've had a strange lineup every day this season, you know, in many respects. They finally appear to have settled on Contreras in the leadoff spot, and that may be the only thing that's stable right now. So, the Cubs lineup to me was stranger yesterday, but we expect the Cubs lineup to be strange because they're not very good.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Who won the NBA draft? What was your favorite storyline? How did the Bulls do?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to declare Orlando as a big winner in the NBA draft because Jalen Suggs slipped and they got him at 5, and then they got your guy Franz Wagner later on as well, and he's a pretty good defensive player. So I think they got a quarterback literally for their team, and they got a great defensive player as well. I like the pieces they got. I like what Golden State did keeping their picks. I think that there are plenty of teams. We'll find out how good Cade Cunningham is. The Bulls are going to see him all the time. My favorite moment, I don't know if it's a storyline, but I loved the introduction of the players before it started. They did like a runway walk with their parents, which I found extremely amusing. Everybody walking out and like, hey, how you doing? And there's mom and dad walking with them. It was just absurd. I like that moment a ton. I think the Bulls did okay. I mean, I don't really have an opinion on whether Io's going to be a great NBA player. I don't know. I think that it's just a great local story. It's one of the great storylines of the draft that this kid had both maybe the worst night of his life falling to 38th and maybe the best night knowing that he's staying at home.
Yeah, guys, I mean, I try to never do this under any circumstances, yeah, but I got to plead no contest. I mean, with the fractured, and it's because of the pandemic, but with the fractured sports seasons the last year or so, I knew less about these college prospects than I think I ever have. I will say, Mully, because, you know, I'm a Michigan alum, I watch them all. Franz Wagner is a good basketball player. He's better than his brother, or he's going to be a better pro, I should say, than his brother, who's become a serviceable pro. And I think people are going to be surprised. And I like Io DeSumba to the Bulls. I think that's a win for them. But obviously, I'm not going to suggest the Bulls won anything with just the 38th pick in the draft.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Is it a fool's errand to worry about injuries on the offensive line until the pads go on and the team starts hitting? Are we getting worked up over nothing with Tevin Jenkins, or is it a legitimate concern?
Well, in the immortal words of John Fox, it's all a problem, okay? And I mean, look, it doesn't matter till you start hitting, and they don't start hitting. They don't put the pads on till next week. So hopefully he's back and available when they put the pads on. That's when it really counts. But the fact of the matter is that we are sitting here and we've yet to have their starting left tackle on the field for a practice. You need to know where to stand, where you're moving, what you're doing. These are little things. It's not like it sets back everything, but it's a huge red flag when a guy can't start practice and when a guy has an issue. And, you know, you've got to prove that you belong on the field and you can be there. Again, the greatest ability, availability. You got to be out there. You can't make the club from the tub. You can't win a job unless you're out there. And Again, I'm not getting ahead of myself on it. It's just a minor annoyance at this point, but certainly we've seen other cases where that can lead to something disturbing. So I think you have to be sober about what this is and what the guy is missing, but you also have to be aware that he's not on the field and they don't have a player on the roster that can play left tackle at this point. We haven't seen anyone do it in the NFL, and including the rookie. Get him out there.
Yeah, I think the answer to this one is both, because as I've been writing, reporting, broadcasting all during the offseason, that the offensive line, I think, could be the key to whether the Bears have any chance of sniffing the playoffs again this year, and specifically offensive tackle, because I like where they're at in the interior of the offensive line, but it's the way they've approached it. They're planning on a plug-and-play second-round rookie starter at left tackle, and they're telling us that Jermaine Ifedi, who they got because he failed so badly at right tackle in Seattle, is now the big improvement at right tackle. I think there is a chance that both things can work out. Where you can be concerned a little bit, it's too early, you know, in camp. We don't think that this is anything long-term, but the last thing you want to hear is that your offensive tackle has back problems, and especially a rookie. It's not a chronic problem. It's not something that anybody had in any draft reports. It just seems to be, you know, a little fatigue from the long workout summer. So, no, I wouldn't worry about it, but I think that Bears fans had best be concerned about the offensive line every day until we get into the season and find out that they were right and that these gambles that they took, going in terribly inexperienced at left tackle and with a rehab project at right tackle, may not have been enough.
All right. What did the Cubs get in Class A lefty Bailey Horn? How did they do in that deal? And what have the White Sox given up so far? We'll ask these questions of James Fox of Future Sox, and we'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score with Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have the great Hub Arkush on with us today. David has a rare day off, and that, of course, was the voice of Tony La Russa talking about the two trades the White Sox pulled off for Cesar Hernandez at second base and, of course, Ryan Tepera trading with the Cubs. And we are delighted to welcome in James Fox of Future Sox and, of course, Southside Sox. And James does a magnificent job. He is a must-follow on Twitter. As we follow him, you should. James Fox 97 is the place to go. He has all the information that we're hoping for. And we welcome him now to the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. James, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Molly. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I'm delighted to get a chance to talk to you because, as I say, you know, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I know everything about the Sox minor league system, but I do follow you and I do read you, and that helps me understand it. You do a great job with it. And so when my Cub friends ask me, well, Bailey Horn, what is his deal? I know he's a lefty from the SEC, but you've probably seen him and know him a lot more intimately. What are the Cubs getting in exchange for Ryan Tepera?
Yeah, so I haven't seen him in person personally, but some of our writers have. He's pretty good at Auburn. He was drafted in the fifth round last year, but it was that weird five round draft. So he got their third biggest bonus. It was like around $150K. So he wasn't just like a nothing, like throwaway pick. He was an actual guy. He was excellent in low A this year. As a 23-year-old, he's struggled since like in high A, but like his changeup is going to determine whether he can start or not. I mean, the bullpen is, or the fastball is mid 90s. He's got a good breaking ball. So look, there are scouts who believe that he's, you know, probably a number four to number five starter, but if he doesn't, you know, develop that third pitch all the way, he could be a weapon out of the bullpen, and it could be quickly. I don't think it's a terrible return for the Cubs. Like, Bailey Horn was going to be ranked in our top 30, but the White Sox system's not great right now. So, I think that's an affordable deal for the White Sox for sure. And the Cubs got, you know, something for the rest of the season of Ryan Tepera.
James, I'm curious as you look at these kids because, you know, not only for the Sox, but the Cubs as well. When I see these, quote, prospects being dealt and I see that they're 23, 24, 25 years old, and I know that some of them had college careers, you count that too, it immediately kind of raises a flag for me as to how much value you could be getting when they're still in A ball and that. What is viewed as the right age for these pitching prospects as you rank them with the Sox and other teams?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, these guys, these two guys specifically, and obviously Pilkington's not going to the Cubs, he's going to the Indians, but they are considered a little bit on the old side. And it's one of the issues the White Sox have had with their farm system is just that they've been so heavy taking college players. Now, they've done a good job developing guys that they can flip for rentals like this, but if you've paid attention, and, you know, I know you guys have, like, some of the big trades that have happened are for teenagers, because that's like teenagers are the big currency of the game right now. You have to have young international players and prep picks in your system in order for you to make big trades in baseball now, because that's who guys want. So yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. The issue is that when you go to college, I mean, even if you go the 3 years, you're probably 21 already. So, which isn't old, but if you have any issues in the minor leagues, I mean, you're talking, you know, you're 23, 24. So, yeah, it's a definite issue, and it's one of the issues that I thought the White Sox might have, like, trying to get impact at this deadline, because while they've gotten younger in their farm system lately, they've taken a lot of prep players. Like, some of those guys have struggled because that's natural. They didn't take enough of them, you know, in 2016 and 2017. It's all college guys. So, you know, I was actually a little bit surprised that they got two needs filled yesterday using the two guys that they did.
Yeah, and Connor Pilkington, I mean, you know, here's another lefty from the SEC. Here's a guy, you know, to get Cesar Hernandez, to me, that's almost like a surrender for Cleveland. But, you know, when you mentioned that the Rule 5 thing is going to kick in with Pilkington, and we're not sure where the Sox would have been with that, and then you think about the idea, again, I hate the idea that Cleveland, every time you turn around, they're pulling a pitcher out of their hat, and it ends up being a really good pitcher. He might follow some sort of thing they're looking for, which disturbs me, but I think you got a really good help here. I think they needed the second baseman, and I'm pretty wowed that they managed to get deals done both in the division and with their crosstown rival.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty solid for both teams. I don't think the White Sox are going to miss Connor Pilkington, and this is the type of move you make when you're trying to win, and your second baseman goes down, and you need a Cesar Hernandez. You know, you could pick up Cesar Hernandez's option next year and keep him, and then the deal becomes even better, I think. Pilkington was a third-rounder out of Mississippi State back in 2018. Coming into that season, he looked like a potential first-rounder, and he didn't pitch very well at Mississippi State. And then the Sox took him, you know, in round three. He had a rough year in 2019. His stuff kind of ticked down to the point where we didn't even rank him on the preseason list this year. While he went to Birmingham and his fastball was back in the mid-90s, his, you know, 3-1 K to walk rate. So that's the one thing I think for Cleveland is he doesn't walk people. Like, he has a whip under one. They like guys who command it. You know, if he makes it to the majors with Cleveland, nobody should be super surprised because it's Cleveland. And, like, this is what they do. But, yeah, you mentioned the Rule 5 draft. Like, he's eligible for the Rule 5 draft in December. You know, there's no proof that he would definitely get taken by somebody, but I don't think the White Sox would have protected him. So, you know, this is typical this time of year. I think I haven't looked specifically, but if you, like, analyze the trades from yesterday, I think a lot of those prospects are, you know, Rule 5 guys that teams just decide probably aren't ready for their 40-man, so they trade them, you know, at deadlines.
Yeah, James, it's kind of interested me, really. I know Rick Hahn's been with the organization for a while, but since he finally got the top job and started pushing the buttons on these deals, there are a lot of comparisons between the way he's built this Sox team and the way Theo built that Cubs championship team, even with where they're at right now in their development. But eventually people are going to realize the one big failure of Theo, he never fixed the Cubs farm system. I mean, he got here, it wasn't a good system. He made the deals he had to build that one team, and now the system is, you know, ranked near the bottom in Major League Baseball again. With the job that Rick Hahn has done so far, while he is building this contending team, is he also fixing the farm system? Where does the Sox farm system overall rank right now when we look around Major League Baseball?
Yeah, so, I mean, right now it's not very good. I mean, it's like bottom five, but, you know, I like the route that they took in this year's draft. I mean, we're not going to know how good those guys are for a long time, but I wanted them to focus on getting younger, and they did it. They took two prep hitters with their first two picks. That's the way that the White Sox need to look at this. They need to continually – they need to get younger in the international market. They need to get younger in the draft so that you have guys to trade. When you're good – at the big league level, they don't need a top 10 farm system again. Like, and it's going to be tough to do without trading big league pieces. But they need to be in the 15 to 25 range, and they need to have enough stuff in that system to be able to make trades. The one thing I do agree with you, you know, the Sox have done a pretty good job of selecting pitchers, like in the middle rounds. You got guys like, you know, you got a Cody Hoyer who has struggled a little bit, obviously. But, I mean, that's a six-round pick pitching out of the bullpen. That's the stuff that Theo Epstein and the Cubs just, for whatever reason, weren't able to do. Like, they just, if you go look at those drafts, it's just like a wasteland of pitching picks that, like, never made it to the majors. Like, you have to be able to get a couple guys from each draft, either to the big leagues on your team or like be able to use some of those guys in trades to get you stuff to help you while you're contending. So yeah, that's the White Sox can't ignore this and have some bottom five farm system like while they're trying to win, or the same type of thing will happen that's happening to the Cubs right now. But look, as a White Sox fan, and I think Molly will probably agree, like five playoff appearances like in a row, I think I'll take that after what I've, you know, lived through. So.
That's so true. James, okay, so we talked yesterday. You had a tweet about Jimmy Lambert being pulled after a couple innings down in Charlotte, and I believe Jake Berger taken out of that game. We know they have guys that have looked okay this year but might be blocked in the future in terms of when they're at full strength. Do you anticipate anything today? Do you think that it's over? Do you think there's more coming? What are your expectations for the 3 o'clock deadline today?
So I don't think that they think they're done, but I mean, it's probably a cop out, but that doesn't mean that something else is going to happen. I think they need another reliever, and I think they need another pretty good reliever. Yeah. If they don't do a bat, like, I get it. I think they have enough in right field to get by. If Robert's back, you have Engel, and you have a whole collection of like left-handed hitters too, that you could just kind of platoon in right field. That's fine. They need another bullpen arm. I mean, there's been talk about Paul Fry of Oakland, or not of Oakland, of Baltimore. He's been really good, a left-handed reliever, but he's got like 3.5 years of control. That'll be pretty expensive. But kind of like you said, I mean, they just have all these guys. Like, I know Gavin Sheets has been fun, but like Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger, I don't know that those guys have locked in spots during this White Sox run. You know, you got pitchers in Charlotte. Like, Jimmy Lambert is, you know, a decent guy, but he could start for a team that's not very good. He's probably never going to start for the White Sox. So that's why like stuff like that at Charlotte was interesting to me. They played it off as, you know, nothing to see here type thing. Like, he was scheduled to go two innings and they pulled Berger because of, you know, whatever reason. So, you know, they didn't say that any of those guys are getting traded, but I mean, if some of them get moved today, nobody should be surprised. And I'm going to be paying attention right up until 3 o'clock, because like contenders should never be done. The White Sox shouldn't be content doing nothing else, even though I do think they did a pretty good job at like solving two needs.
Amen. Amen to that. James, thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Great,
James.
Catching up with him. That's James Fox. Follow him on Twitter, JamesFox917. There are a lot of really good people doing work around the White Sox. You know, some of it is fan-based hub. The guys at Sox Machine do a fantastic job. I love following them. The 108ers, I guess that's a whole thing going on. I've got to get out to the ballpark and go find those guys. It just seems like so much fun. And I got friends. I got a buddy that was a longtime employee of the White Sox that we keep in touch and talk about this stuff. It's just been such an unbelievable long time and such a wait. And now, he's absolutely right. You know, go Walter Payton at the goal line. Get up and go over. Get up and go over. Come on now.
You know, Molly, it's funny you say that, because I marvel every day at how much talent there is out there. You know, in our business, as you say, a lot of people doing such a great job with some of this stuff, and we got to find them. And I also marvel at how they're making a living, because there's so few jobs in our industry.
Right.
You know, and there is great talent out there. And you look for guys like James, because these are the key questions to me is, okay, well, what is next? I don't know enough about it. And it's always fun to have resources like that who can give us that, you know, that deeper dive.
All right. 312-644-6767. Our Bruce Levine had a sit down with Anthony Rizzo. We're going to give you a taste of that next. We'll listen to his goodbye interview, I suppose you'd call it. Really moving stuff with Anthony Rizzo, and we'll do that when we return. It is Mully and Haw. He's the great Hub Arkish on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.